The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Chris DeGaulle Show podcast.
Okay, guys, let's just rip. And Chris DeGaulle.
Chris DeGaulle. Chris, thanks for being with me tonight.
Chris DeGaulle.
I'm joined now by Chris DeGaulle.
Now, he puts the broad in broadband. It's Chris DeGaulle.
The Chris DeGaulle podcast is presented by USMedicalPlan.com. Save big money monthly and get better health coverage at USMedicalPlan.com.
Ooh, I earned it last night, folks. It's the 8th day of February. It's Wednesday. I welcome you into the Chris DeGaulle Show podcast. I'm coasting on fumes today, ladies and gentlemen. If you go to the Harumph Society, I'll talk a little more about it, but watch the entirety of the State of the Union last night. And I have your analysis coming up complete with E.J. and Tony from the Heritage Foundation. We'll talk about the numbers and the economy messaging behind it specifically. No way anybody was buying that based on the polling data that we had going into it on Monday and Tuesday that I shared with you. We're also going to talk with Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania's 10th Congressional District, and he leads the House Freedom Caucus. These were the original 20 that tried to get Kevin McCarthy all squared away on how they were going to. And by the way, what is their agenda going forward? Are they going to tackle this Chinese spy balloon, Twitter and big tech censorship, the Hunter Biden laptop? So we got a lot to unpack today, and we're going to get to all of it. I want to tell you first about the guy that makes this show possible each and every day, and that's a gentleman called John Ruhlman. He runs a company called USMedicalPlan.com, or that's the website anyway, USMedicalPlan.com. Now, he has access to 80 different private health insurers in the country, 80. I don't know what you're paying out of pocket for your monthly health insurance premiums, but I promise he can beat what you're paying. And I'm talking about 30 to 60% he can beat what you're paying. So I want you to imagine saving several hundred, if not maybe a thousand or a few even, $1,000 a month. If you're spending that out of pocket on your own family, you, your spouse, maybe you have a small business, maybe you have a few employees that you pay for their health insurance. It's so expensive. Or maybe you want to go on Obamacare, the ACA, the Affordable Care Plan. He can get you on that too. He can talk with you about it. He likes to say that he is the competition. Like he knows everyone in the space that's competing with one another. He can cherry pick the best health insurance plan for you that gives you all the coverage you want, but saves you money. I'm talking specifically to those of you on fixed retirement incomes that want to lower your costs on health insurance needs. This is your guy. They have a full care department at USMedicalPlan.com. John, his sister, his wife and his brother, John's brother and wife, they've built this thing almost 20 years ago, and the whole purpose is to not only find you great quality, affordable health insurance, but also walk you through all the craziness of the industry. And you know, I mean, if you've dealt with health insurance, it's a nightmare sometimes. They're your true advocates. They get on the phone, they handle all the bureaucracy and the block and tackle so you can carry on about your day. Full service. That's what John and the team at USMedicalPlan.com will offer. I hope you'll tell them that you heard about them here on the Chris DeGaulle Show podcast. They have been fantastic to step in and sponsor this show. We're grateful to them. They underwrite it so we can do it every day. And I know they're going to provide you great service. 877-410-4321. If you don't see my mug when you go to their website at USMedicalPlan.com, you're on the wrong website, all right? U.S. Medical Plan, that's singular.com. Well, I did it, as promised. If you're a Harumph Society member, I did it. I sat through the entire 80 minutes, and I did live commentary with it. And so if you want to hear my blow-by-blow, minute-by-minute, second-by-second walkthrough of the Husk's speech, you'll need to subscribe and become a member of the Harumph Society to watch it all. I mean, I'm going to share some of it with you today. But I can't, I'm sorry, after sitting through that, I put in the time, I did the homework, I did the real work, and I might need a lobotomy this morning. So it is, it's all there for you if you really want to know every minute of that completely fraudulent, lying, thieving, no good, low down, and other expletives that the FCC will not allow me to use. You can watch it at the Harumph Society if you want. I'm going to resist the temptation to start today by going after his speech, because the speech that followed it was nothing short of spectacular. I'm trying to figure out if this speech was so infuriating by Biden and so bad and so full of lies and so full of gaslighting. I asked a friend of mine last night, is she this good or is his speech that bad that anybody that followed it? You know, I said yesterday that Sarah Huckabee Sanders has one of the maybe easiest jobs because she's following one of the weakest, most miserable, lying, ineffectual, unpopular presidents in recent American history. I mean, consider going into that speech. The Husk had three different polls from mainstream media that said people feel less financially secure. Americans not fit, 6 in 10 from the Washington. I'm sorry, I'm being redundant, but I want to drive this home again, lest you, if you watch that and you came away or you read any media accounts of last night suggesting that that was a really profound and important, impactful speech. I just remind you, no matter his yelling, no matter his gaslighting, no matter his lies, his promise to spend his way to utopia, that was maybe, above all else, the most audacious part of it all. It was the largest spending pitch in the midst of record inflation I've ever heard. It was a prescription for more. 6 in 10 Americans say they do not feel the impact of the Biden agenda. 2/3 of Democrats do not want a second term of Joe Biden. That's the polling from mainstream media outlets. AP, Washington Post, ABC News. So going into last night, the country and specifically Democrats are not enthused about this guy, don't think he's done anything, and in fact, in most cases, has made life worse for Americans. That was going into that speech. Now, do you think last night that withered old bag of bones screaming occasionally, having problems regulating the volume of his voice, do you think that drove home something for these people that I just mentioned in the polls? Do you think they went, oh, I guess now that he's yelling like a lunatic and slurring his words, maybe things aren't as bad as I thought they were? Of course not. Which is why I want to fast forward and go immediately to a woman who maybe had one of the easiest rebuttal speeches in history simply because of this man's failure, but I think that would be giving Sarah Huckabee Sanders short shrift. This woman was nothing short of spectacular. Sarah Huckabee Sanders put on a clinic in how one responds to that, well, not just that speech, but to the destruction we're living. I printed off the transcript of this thing. We have some of the sound. I tell you what, I'm damn near tempted to just play the entire speech. I was that in love with it. let me just go through some of this. I get we have some of it. Well, all right, I'll play for you some of my favorite. This is kind of how she framed the speech last night. We'll start with the first one.
Forgive me for not believing much of anything I heard tonight from President Biden. From out of control inflation and violent crime to the dangerous border crisis and threat from China. Biden and the Democrats have failed you.
Yep.
They know it and you know it. And it's time for a change.
Out of control inflation to violent crime, dangerous border crisis, threats from China. Biden and the Democrats have failed you. That's the baseline from which she operated the rest of the speech. And then she laid out with great specificity some of the failures. But this was perhaps the biggest dropkick to the withered old bag of bones, low-hanging testicles last night. Listen to this.
I'll be the first to admit, President Biden and I don't have a lot in common. I'm for freedom. He's for government control. At 40, I'm the youngest governor in the country. And at 80, he's the oldest president in American history. I'm the first woman to lead my state. And he's the first man to surrender his presidency to a woke mob that can't even tell you what a woman is.
If you've never seen a live political castration on television, that was audio of it. Right there. Devastating. At 40, I'm the youngest governor in the country. At 80, he's the oldest president in history. I'm the first woman to lead my state. He's the first man to surrender the presidency. Surrender the presidency. And he has, and every American feels it. I go back to the numbers that I started with again. 6 in 10 don't think he's done anything. Most Democrats, never mind voters, most Democrats don't want him to run again. Surrendered his country. That Chinese spy balloon was a symbol of exactly what she said. And every American knows it deep down in the pit of every American's core that pays even scant attention, unless you're completely checked out, high as a kite, and, you know, you do nothing but, I don't know, play Xbox. Unless that's your existence, or watching Netflix. And by the way, there are millions of Americans whose existence I'm speaking of because they have no other ambition. That's what Democrats are driving us to. They would love as many people as possible checked out and subservient to the government and high as a kite. So they're driving that population up. But thankfully, for now, most of the country is still not that. And so for the rest of the country, be you Democrat, independent, Republican, agnostic, you know, wacko, leftist, libertarian, whatever you are, there is no way, if you're a self-respecting American, that 7-8-day episode of a Chinese spy balloon hovering over the lower 48, no way that didn't, at your core, make you think, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. That was a symbol. And she, I think that might have been the most powerful statement in the entire presentation last night. He has surrendered the country. What powerful language. And he's demonstrated. It's not just words. He's actually demonstrated that. That's how people feel. Our country has been surrendered. Our country's being invaded. Our country's being overrun by people. We have no idea who they are. They'll never assimilate. Tens of millions of people just pouring into the country every single year. Unstopped. Undeterred. Drugs. Turning our cities into zombie cities. Gas and groceries through the roof. One of, the most hostile enemy of the United States has a spy balloon hovering over our continent for 7 days, undeterred. Every American, whether they'll say it this way or not, knows what that feels like. It feels like we're a weakened country, brought to our knees, if not outright in surrender. And he's presiding over it, and she absolutely drove it home. Or put more simply, what she said next.
Beyond our border, from Afghanistan to Ukraine, from North Korea to Iran, President Biden's weakness puts our nation and the world at risk. And the president's refusal to stand up to China, our most formidable adversary, is dangerous and unacceptable. President Biden is unwilling to defend our border, defend our skies, and defend our people. He is simply unfit to serve as commander-in-chief.
How can you argue it? What's the debate there? No one is. I mean, I'm not seeing any mainstream media debating any of the merits of a thing Sarah Huckabee Sanders said last night. And if you look across the media landscape today, you're not going to see anybody, you know, not even hard leftists. I mean, I'm not even seeing it on CNN and MSNBC this morning. They're not even quibbling with what she said. How can you? Number 71.
Whether Joe Biden believes this madness or is simply too weak to resist it, his administration has been completely hijacked by the radical left. The dividing line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We're under attack, and everybody feels it. She said it again. She put it to words, what everybody's feeling. This speech was more in touch with Americans' reality than that feeble old husk last night by a lot. She just drove it home every single time, what people feel in their core, even if they're apolitical.
And while you reap the consequences of their failures, the Biden administration seems more interested in woke fantasies than the hard reality Americans face every day. Most Americans simply want to live their lives in freedom and peace. But we are under attack in a left-wing culture war we didn't start and never wanted to fight. Every day we are told we must partake in their rituals, salute their flags, and worship their false idols. All while big government colludes with big tech to strip away the most American thing there is, your freedom of speech. That's not normal. It's crazy. And it's wrong. Make no mistake. Republicans will not surrender this fight. We will lead with courage and do what's right, not what's politically correct or convenient.
Oh, I mean, give the governor harumph. That is just, we're under attack from a left-wing culture in a war we didn't start. We never wanted to fight. We're told we must partake, and this, listen to how she frames this. This is brilliant speech writing. We're told to partake in their rituals, salute their flags, and worship their false idols. Her invoking of them sounding like they are a cult is purposeful and accurate. And she closes her speech, I might point out to you, this way. We know what the future holds, but we don't know who what the future holds. But we know who holds the future in his hands. And as God is our witness, we will show the world that America is still a place where freedom reigns and liberty will never die. She invoked, on purpose and appropriately, imagery of the American left being hijacked by cultists. That we are literally watching. Oh, well, I mean, take a look at what Sam Smith did at the Grammys. When were the Grammys? I don't know if you've even seen it. You may not even know who that is, and that's fine. You don't need to. I'm sure you saw clips of it. One of the most popular mainstream artists today is a guy called Sam Smith. He did his entire... I mean, his entire success, his entire model now, he's got his, well, I mean, his one of his hit songs is called Unholy. He did an entire Grammys presentation as the devil, literally, dressed in red as the devil. Brought to you by Pfizer, and that's legit, incidentally. Pfizer was the sponsor as they bumped out of the devil presentation at the Grammys on Sunday. So she appropriately, accurately, and specifically frames the American left and progressivism today as cult-like behavior, worshiping their idols, taking part in their rituals, saluting their flags. She set them apart, and she said, this is crazy. This is not normal. And it's been a long time since we've had anybody as a national political figure in any capacity, say on national television, what we're living through is not normal. We have been hijacked by cultists, and it's crazy, and I oppose it, and so does the Republican Party. I highlighted this speech. I mean, it's radical. It's the radical left's America. Washington taxes you. Light your hard-earned money on fire. You get crushed with high gas prices, empty grocery shelves. Our children are taught to hate one another on account of their race, but not to love one another or our great country. The dividing line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy. Biden inherited the fastest economic recovery on record, the most secure border in history, cheap, abundant, homegrown energy, fast rising wages, a rebuilt military, a world that was stable and at peace. But over the last 2 years, Democrats have destroyed it all, she said. 100,000 Americans a year killed from drug overdoses, largely from fentanyl pouring in across our southern border. The Biden administration refuses to secure the border and save American lives. That was probably one of the most devastating moments of the speech last night for the incredible Husk, when he starts talking about fentanyl. And this might be the clip number 63. I think the Republicans actively shout him down when he starts talking about this appropriately. Listen.
Fentanyl is killing more than 70,000 Americans a year. You got it.
You got it. Sure. You got it, he says.
So let's launch a major surge to stop fentanyl production and the sale and trafficking with more drug detection machines, inspection cargo, stop pills and powder at the border.
Yeah. He didn't yell during that, did he? No yelling during that. You could tell that was limped in there.
Yeah, so let's close the border.
Kind of trailed off there, didn't he? Too much being whipped. I mean, absolutely being whipped. He goes, and fentanyl. The whole room erupts and close the border. It's your fault. 100,000 people are dying of fentanyl. Close the border. While you reap the consequences of their failure, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, the Biden administration seems more interested in woke fantasies than the hard reality Americans face every day. Americans want to live their lives in freedom and peace, but we're under attack in a left-wing culture we didn't start and we never wanted to fight. And that is how normal Americans feel, under attack. She addressed schools, failing schools. While Biden wants to dump more money into schools that are already, by the way, sitting on a ton of COVID money they didn't spend, she said Republicans are working to end a policy of trapping kids in failing schools and sentencing them to a lifetime of poverty. We will educate and not indoctrinate our kids and put students on a path to success. She also telegraphed that she's basically going to be the next governor to offer universal education choice, which would make her the fifth state. And if you're keeping track, incidentally, now there are five states: Arizona, Iowa, Utah, West Virginia, and I think soon to come, and she just projected last night, Arkansas next. Five states that are full-blown, total, 100% universal school choice. Those dominoes are going to keep falling this year, and that is really exciting. The states are becoming these breeding grounds of competition in education, and parents who have younger children in their lives are going to start moving to states where the states hand them the taxpayer money that they allocate and say, here, you go have the education for your kids you want. Everybody in every failing major school district in the country wants that for their children. They would love to have that check handed them so they could go shop a school or start a school in their church or start a school like a home school pod in their community. Every parent who gives a damn about their kids and their failing school would give anything to have the amount of money their state spends on them, the thousands of dollars the state spends here. You go shop the school of your choice. Get out of your failing school and go find your own. Every parent who cares would take a governor up on that. Now, let me ask you this. I don't mean to... This is going to make some of you mad. I'm just asking. I can't help but ask. There were two different moments in this speech that I thought Sarah Huckabee Sanders did something that interested me. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. Maybe it's a bit too much to read into. But boy, where did Sarah Huckabee Sanders come from in there, Fast Eddie?
Oh, so from the Trump White House.
The Trump White House. She was his press secretary. Mm-hmm. Do you think that she has any kind of loyalty, affinity, fondness for former President Trump?
I think she does.
Yeah.
Of course.
Do you think that she... Maybe I'm reading too much into it. Maybe it's just her professional background and that's all it is. So she's drawing on references to what is just true and her professional history, and I'll leave it at that. Or she was reminding the country very specifically of the successes and the strengths and the reasons to really, really like your former president, Donald Trump, and really miss him. Do you think, is it possible, when she said very specifically that Joe Biden inherited the fastest economic recovery on record, the most secure border in history, cheap, abundant, homegrown energy, fast rising wages, a rebuilt military, and a world stable and at peace? Now, those things are true, but do you think, was that a wink to former President Trump? Reading too much into it?
I was thinking the same thing. Although opposite of you, actually, I was thinking, is this the transition from Trump? Was that why this message?
Because she was saying a new young direction. She kept saying new and young, we're new and young. The Republican Party is new and young. And so you think by saying that, that kind of dumps on Trump because he's an older guy like Biden.
Yes.
Okay. I might go with you on that until she closed with a very, very touching story about the former president and former first lady in the dark of night flying to visit our troops on Christmas, and went on for a good chunk of that speech to close it out, reminding everybody of how selfless and committed to the troops he was, and how a member of the military while he was over there visiting said, "Sir, I enlisted because of you," and the soldier said back to the president, "Sir, I enlisted because of you." And the president looked back at him and said, "Son, I'm here because of you." Now that was that necessary? Lovely story. Was that necessary in a Biden State of the Union rebuttal? Just asking.
Your observation is correct. As far as the amount of time dedicated to that story to close like that, I mean, my thought was opposite at first, but you're right. There was an inordinate amount of time spent on that.
Did that not make you kind of wistful for former President Trump a little bit? Did you not think, wow, that's a pretty cool story. It's pretty moving. Wow, that's pretty cool he did that. Wow, sounds... I did. I'll admit it, I didn't go into that speech thinking about Trump really at all. I mean, other than she's right, the economic prosperity, the border security, the fact that, you know, Putin and Xi are not moving on our country if Donald Trump's president, that's been true. We've talked about that show after show. So from that literal perspective, those things are true. But that story, it was a very lengthy story for the amount of time she was given. It went on and on. And it was kind of a Mitch Albom tug at your heartstring story. And prominently featured in that story was the former president and first lady. And I thought, curious addition there. Was that a solid to the former president? Just asking. Okay. It's not untrue. Don't misunderstand it. I'm not saying it was untrue or not a great story and not accurate and all that. I just found the placement of it sort of interesting. Bob Spinato at Williamsburg Dental, my dentist and friend of many, many years, 12, 13 years now. Bob has installed this smile that I'm awfully proud of, and he's still my dentist to this day. I visit him twice a year. Trish, my hygienist, the front desk staff, they're fantastic. You know, I don't know how many dentists you've been to where, number one, there's a waiting room, but nobody's waiting in it. One of the things I don't brag enough about Bob, he runs that place like a Swiss watch. I mean, you're in the chair at your appointment time, period. Like, he's never making you sit around and wait. But then he schedules his day in such a way where he can actually go slow and be gentle and delicate and take time. He's not really rushing through the process, so he never hurts you either. So if you're looking for like a full-blown cosmetic overhaul for your smile, maybe a whitening, he's got a $200 whitening that's only for you podcast listeners, he will not do this for everybody, but he does it for the podcast, truly. It's ordinarily $500. He said, if anybody calls me from the podcast and wants the whitening, I'll give it to them my cost, $200. So that's a heck of a deal for a professional whitening kit from Bob. The only caveat is you got to go in and meet him. He's in Broomall, Pennsylvania, just off the Blue Route. Or if you just need a general dentist and you haven't been in a long time, this guy, he's not going to judge you or give you a hard time. He's not going to hurt you. You've never met anybody more compassionate and a more delicate hand in dentistry than Bob. That's my promise to you. You correct me if I'm wrong. You tell me I was wrong. I've never had anybody say anything other than you are 100% right, Chris. Williamsburg-Dental.com. Williamsburg-Dental.com. Or call 610-353-2700. Freedom Caucus Chairman and Republican Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry will be with us today, too. He apparently invited Mark Hauk to the State of the Union last night. Bold move. Who did the vegetable senator from Pennsylvania invite? A freed ex-con. Of course. So the vegetable... Senator Broccoli, he invited an ex-con, and Scott Perry invited a pro-life Catholic father who likes saving babies. It's pretty much where we are. I mean, that boy, if you could kind of draw a bright white line down the center of the country, that's where we are. By the way, in this great, wonderful, robust economy news today that Zoom now, just the latest in the tech sector to be laying off 1,300 employees or 15% of its workforce. Zoom. Just the latest. So, yeah, the tech sector is just roaring out there. He kept touting the tech sector, and I thought that seems to be the worst place to focus, actually. That's where all the jobs are being killed and crushed. Layoffs aplenty. Didn't mention, not one time last night, did he mention the spy balloon. Didn't say the word balloon. Didn't even mention it. But at one point did weirdly scream President Xi of China's name. I don't know exactly what that was about. Can you help me with this when he starts screaming? This doesn't even make sense. What is he talking about? Is this supposed to suggest he's a tough guy who didn't just let 7 days of surveillance happen?
Before I came to office, the story was about how the People's Republic of China was increasing its power and America is failing in the world. Not anymore. We made clear, and I made clear in my personal conversations, which have been many, with President Xi, that we seek competition, not conflict. But I will make no apologies that we're investing in to make America stronger. Investing in American innovation and industries will define the future that China intends to be dominating. Investing in our alliances and working with our allies to protect advanced technologies so they will not be used against us. Modernizing our military.
Here comes the yelling.
To safeguard stability and deter aggression.
The notes in the
today,
teleprompter say yell.
We're in the strongest position in decades to compete with China or anyone else
All
in
right.
the world.
Now drive it home, Gramps.
Else in the world.
Now drive it home.
And I'm committed.
Scream real loud, says the teleprompter.
I'm committed to work with China where we can advance American interests and benefit the world. But make no mistake
louder,
about it.
Louder.
As we made clear last week, if China threatens our sovereignty, we will act to protect our country, and we did.
We did?
Look, let's be clear. Winning the competition should unite all of us. We face serious challenges across the world. But in the past 2 years, democracies have become stronger, not weaker. Autocracy has grown weaker, not stronger.
Here we go.
Name me a world leader who changed places with Xi Jinping. Name me one. Name me one.
What does that? What does that even mean? I like bread pudding. Name me one. Who's tried by? I'm comfortable in dungarees. Are you just screaming? Like, what is it? What are you driving home? Name me one world leader who's traded places with Xi Jinping. That doesn't even make sense. What is he screaming? Everyone in this country knows that that old fossil is owned lock, stock, and barrel by China. Everyone saw it. You saw it with your own eyes. We all watched it. One of their spy vessels floated over the lower 48 for 7 days. That's not a man who's tough. That's not a man who's got China's number. Name me anyone who wants to trade places with Xi Jinping. I better ask the question, name one world leader that wants to trade places with you versus Xi Jinping. Who do you think, and I'm serious, if you surveyed people truthfully in a blind survey, who is the stronger world leader right now? Do you think they'd say Ping, Xi Jinping, or Biden? And I'm sincere, deadly serious. If you asked the globe, that is the universe of people that are paying attention to the news, who do you think is the stronger world leader right now? Joe Biden or Xi Jinping of China? How do you think most citizens of the world who have access to news regularly would answer that? I think you and I both know. And it ain't him. So he can scream all he wants, but we all understand who's in the driver's seat. We retreat out of Afghanistan, and what does China do? They move right in and start mining rare earth metals to make the batteries to go in the green vehicles that he's subsidizing and that we're buying, all of it from China. And our solar technology, and our wind technology, all of it. We're lining Chinese pockets. He is a complete sellout to the Chinese, and everyone knows it. And his corrupt son, and his corrupt brother, and their corrupt dealings. Ask yourself a question. How does this man spend 50 years in civil service, and his wife, a school teacher, how do these two people, nothing wrong with either profession, but how do these two people become multimillionaires with multiple homes? How does that happen? He has never had a job outside of elected office. She's a teacher. How many multimillionaires with multiple homes do you know that work for government and teach? I don't know many. This family is corrupt as hell. And he stood up there talking about people paying their fair share of taxes. It was... See, here we go. I promised I wasn't going to spend a lot of time on this, and here I am. I love my Giza Dream Sheets and my MyPillow body pillow. I really am sleeping like a baby. I used to think it was kind of a cliche or something. Okay, sure, they're advertisers. You gush about your advertisers, sure. I never had MyPillow products until Mike Lindell and I partnered on both the radio show and the podcast, and I ordered a slew of stuff. For my team, for my wife, for my kids, for my dog, for me. I'm drinking the My Coffee as we speak, which is delicious. I'm going to get the darker roast. I will say I got light roast. For those of you that like a stouter taste, the light is true to its word. It's a light coffee. So if you like a light coffee, that's it. But the darker, I'm going to get darker next time. But delicious, really delicious coffee. And that's just some of the products. Have you been to MyPillow lately? Or my store, I don't know if you've been, but if you go and you use my name Chris or Chris Podcast as your promo code, you can save up to 66% on all this stuff that I've been using and talking about myself. Really great American-made stuff. My wife loves her MyPillow slippers, loves them. Dean is in that MyPillow dog bed every night, chewing on his bone. He loves it. Like I said, the Giza Dream Sheets and the MyPillow, the body pillow, as a side sleeper. It's like a 3-foot pillow. I tuck it in between my knees. I hug it on my side. I'm telling you, like a baby, I'm sleeping on these pillows and these sheets. Then there's the towels. I've got the MyPillow towels that are super absorbent and have been great, and they come in multiple colors. The robes, the go-anywhere pillows. Boy, I tell you what, this guy is becoming what Bed Bath & Beyond used to be before they threw him out and now have gone bankrupt. MyPillow.com. Use the promo code ChrisPodcast and save up to 66%. EJ Antoni is a great friend of the show. EJ is one of our go-tos on the topic of all things economy. And because so much of that speech last night focused on the economy, we couldn't resist hearing what EJ's take on it was. He's a Heritage Foundation research fellow there, too. And EJ, my takeaway of the night, I tweeted it. I saw that you responded was resort fees. Let's finish the job. Let's get serious about resort fees. People can't afford a dozen eggs in this country. And Thurston is talking about resort fees, EJ. Good morning.
Good morning. I mean, the insanity of it is just so palpable, right, Chris? Exactly like you said, you can't afford a dozen eggs, but somehow you're going to afford a vacation. I mean, that kind of rhetoric tells you just how out of touch this White House is with the American people.
Is there anything about that speech? Is there any? Look, I'll just try to be fair and say, is there a single thing, economically speaking, that was redeeming or accurate in your review of anything he said last night? I'll try to find something positive if you can.
I would say the most redeeming part about the speech was that it ended.
Cars, chips. There weren't enough chips. Car prices went off. People got laid off. So did everything from refrigerators to cell phones. He was talking about appliances and cars last night. I can't believe he was calling attention to that stuff. Those things are no more affordable either. I mean, it's like, I don't know what he's talking about. People can't afford cars or appliances or resort vacations.
Well, I think what it essentially was, I could be wrong here, Chris, but my best guess is that the administration has very few things they can actually point at to say to the American people, here's how we have made your life better. In fact, arguably, there's nothing they can point at to say that. And so instead, what they are doing is they're saying, hey, remember when we made things really, really bad in like June, July, and August of last year? Things are not quite that bad anymore, which is why the president wanted to highlight things like gasoline, which has come down at the fastest rate in 8 years. Yes, that's absolutely true. But only after you artificially ran up the price at the fastest pace ever, and it's still about a buck a gallon more expensive than when Biden took office. So again, you have to basically cherry pick the data and kind of massage the numbers to put a positive spin on these things.
EJ, this may have been, that's a tall statement I was about to make, one of the more infuriating moments of the night. I'll say one of the more infuriating moments of the night. Him talking about oil, number 55. And this was, again, another one of those moments where he was basically embarrassed as the Republicans scoffed at him aloud. Listen.
Under the previous administration, the American deficit went up 4 years in a row. Because those record deficits, no president added more to the national debt in any 4 years than my predecessor. Nearly 25% of the entire national debt that took over 200 years to accumulate was added by just one administration alone, the last one. They're the facts. Check it out. Check it out.
All right. So the place erupted. Your response to that?
Well, of course the place erupted, because Biden's first deficit was even worse than Trump's last one. And both of those were just goosed by the Democrats, essentially. I mean, it was Republicans, too, but mostly the Democrats in Congress pushing all of that spending under the name of COVID. And even if you want to say, OK, forget about the pandemic, let's just take Biden's most recent deficit and compare that with pre-pandemic deficits. Right. It's still 40% larger under Biden than we had in fiscal year 2019. So again, this is just strictly what the numbers say. At the end of the day, this is nonpartisan.
On oil, this was a hilarious moment. Number 54.
Have you noticed Big Oil just reported its profits, record profits? Last year they made $200 billion. In the midst of a global energy crisis. I think it's outrageous. Why? They invested too little of that profit to increase domestic production. And when I talk to a couple of them, they say, we're afraid you're going to shut down all the oil wells and all the oil refineries anyway, so why should we invest in them? I said, we're going to need oil for at least another decade. And that's going to exceed and beyond that. We're going to need it.
Laughed in his face. That moment to me, it was beyond incredulous. And the Republican response to that was exactly correct. Laughing in his old fool face. We're going to need oil for at least another decade. They're laughing, of course, because every sane person knows we're going to need oil for the rest of our lives. And then some.
Now, Chris, I'm not a doctor, but my personal recommendation would be you know, continue breathing because you will need oxygen for the next 5 minutes. So, look, let's just for a second, let's take a step back and just look at, again, nonpartisan here. Let's just look at the numbers. If we had kept the previous administration's policies in place, we'd be producing between 2 and 3 million more barrels of oil a day. And in terms of natural gas, it'd be 20 to 25 billion cubic feet of natural gas, right? So that's what we're missing because of the Biden era policies. And again, you know, you want to talk about policy over politics here, because there were plenty of bad policies that began under the Trump administration, not necessarily in energy, but in other areas, right? And Biden has doubled down on those, but particularly in energy. When you have on your very first day, you kill the Keystone XL pipeline, when you pause leasing on federal lands, for example, and you do anything and everything you can to stop investment in the industry and make forecasting nearly impossible, what do you think is going to be the outcome?
When he says we're going to need oil for at least another decade, do you think he believes that we're going to achieve a total lack of need or necessity for oil in 10 years? Do you think he really believes that? Is that why they bust out in laughter in his face? Because he knows better?
You know, it very well could be the case. For better or for worse, I'm not in his head. I don't know what he's honestly thinking or what he actually believes. But one thing I do know is that when I talk to people on the left and they are trying to rationalize the transition, so-called transition to so-called green energy, right? One of the things that they never account for is all of the derivatives we get from a barrel of oil, yes, from natural gas. And they don't realize, for example, where the synthetic materials that make your polyester clothing, for example, where those base stocks come from, right? What about fertilizer? They have absolutely no idea that fossil fuels contribute not just to energy, but to so many materials that we use throughout our daily lives.
Yeah, plastics. I mean, it's endless. Beyond, everybody wants to think about oil as that black stuff that you pour into a combustion engine or something, like idiots. I mean, anybody that has that small of a window of understanding of what our domestic energy supply is used for is, yeah, but anyway, I suppose he counts on people not knowing. Let's go to the wealthy paying their fair share. This old trope. Number 57.
So some of my Republican friends want to take the economy hostage. I get it, unless I agree to their economic plans. All of you at home should know what those plans are. Instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's the majority.
Yeah. And then the place, again, erupts because McCarthy's already gone on record and said we have no intention to touch it. Here's the thing. Wealthy paying their fair share. First of all, Hunter Biden and taxes. I mean, the Biden family and taxes. I don't think he wants to go there. But the top 1%, EJ, if I've got my numbers right, the top 1% pay 42% of the taxes. The bottom 50% in this country, the bottom 50% of earners in this country pay less than 2% of the taxes. Is that about right?
Chris, give me a number. What is my number? Please tell me, what is my number? At what point can I stop paying taxes? At what point is someone who's not working, do they cease to be entitled to the proceeds from what I get from working? Okay, please give me a number. Please tell me what my fair share is so I know that once I hit that, I don't owe another dime to somebody else. Explain to me why it is greed for me to want to keep what I have earned, but it is not greed for someone else to want to take what I have earned.
It's so well said. And it's just tired, but it's every Democrat State of the Union from, I mean, since I've been paying attention to them, they say it every time. Fair share. Rich people aren't paying their fair share. All right, EJ. I mean, I guess if you could put a bow on it, I don't think anybody comes away feeling better off. I mean, the polling going into it, as I said, 6 in 10 Americans polled by Washington Post, ABC News said he hasn't accomplished much of anything. They're worse off economically. 2/3 of his own party don't want him to run again. Do you think this speech changed any of that?
I don't think so. And, you know, again, I'm a monetary scientist, not a political scientist. So, you know, please take this with a grain of salt. But I think that people are slightly better off than they were a few months ago. And the administration seems to be banking on people having short-term memories and not recalling where they were 2 years ago, let alone before the pandemic, and not comparing and saying, oh, my gosh, I really am worse off under this administration.
E.J. Antoni of the Heritage Foundation, thanks for your analysis, as always, first thing. We appreciate you, friend.
Well, Chris, thanks for having me.
In the room last night, members of Congress, of course, one of them, our go-to, Congressman Scott Perry, Pennsylvania's 10th Congressional District. He is also the leader of the House Freedom Caucus. And, you know, of course, the left-wing media is very upset with you Republicans out there, Scott. We welcome you, Congressman. But, I mean, at some point, your incredulity meter is just off the charts when you got a guy that is just stone-cold lying, outright lying, not even nuancing, but just flatly lying about you guys. I don't know what choice you have. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris, and thanks so much for the opportunity. Yeah, look, we're Republicans. We're Americans that even though we might disagree with the policies and sometimes the rhetoric, we want to be respectful. We want to listen. But at the same time, we're not going to stand for the abject fabrications meant to discredit us and put us in a horrific light for the simple purposes of political brinksmanship. And so, you know, telling people that, you know, the oldest trick in the book for the left and Democrats, you know, we're going to push Granny over the cliff in her wheelchair, and they resurrect that every single time. They just don't have anything meaningful to discuss. And of course, the president did that last night with this claim that we're going to cut Social Security and Medicare benefits, of which we're not the only one that's discussing that, is him and some of the other Democrats, because they don't have anything meaningful to offer. And so you can imagine that it just kind of wells up inside everybody when you're facing this. And, you know, look, we're going to listen to the president. We know there's going to be a certain amount of hyperbole and stretching of the truth, no matter who the president is. But when you cross the line, you know, something's got to be said to measure your discord and as respectfully as you can, because we're not going to, you know, hold up a card or something. How else do you do that? So, you know, we don't advocate for turning our backs on the president or all wearing a certain color to show our discord or all the crazy things that the left does, these petty things. But we're not going to stand for just the abject lies that we don't even support our own parents in America. That's clearly out of bounds. And so, you know, look, he's the one that brought it to the table. And as usual, as you know, Chris, the Democrats are always the ones that move the ball and change the standard. And they did that a long time ago, especially with President Trump. And so now when the shoe's on the other foot, they cry foul. Well, sorry, you know, turnabout is fair play. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, all the cliches that you're used to hearing. And we're just not going to let them get away with it. There's too much at stake. The country's in trouble, and for the standards of decorum, we're just not going to let them and the president spew his abject lies. I mean, look, some are more obvious than others. You know, I'm going to stand against the communist Chinese. We didn't have to say much about that because all of America knows that the Communist Party of China just floated a spy balloon over the United States.
I got to get into that, week, Scott. Right? That's what I'm dying to talk to you about. Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry, who is the leader of the House Freedom Caucus. I cannot believe after 7 days of all of us watching our prime enemy, China, float a balloon over the continent, you know, the lower 48. He didn't even say the word balloon. He barely acknowledged it even happened. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but that's clearly humiliating. It's clearly emasculating. They know it. He knows it, right?
That's exactly right. And here again, like I said, when it's so clearly and plainly obvious to everyone just what just happened, you don't have to stomp your feet too loud because everybody in the room and everybody out of the room knows that the guy is detached from reality. And there are numerous cases. You talk about fentanyl and him claiming that the border's secure. You talk about the economy. I mean, goodness, Chris, I mean, as people are struggling to pay their electricity bills, their food bills, and their fuel bills to get back and forth to work, he's talking about teenagers working at fast food places and no compete clauses. And everybody in the room is looking at each other saying, is this the biggest problem America has right now? Is it we're going to spend time on this when we've got violence running rampant in the streets and people being kicked out of their homes because they can't afford their bills? Like, that's something?
I forgot about that. What was that he said last night? There were two things he said. I'm so glad you brought that up because I forgot about this one. I couldn't get past that he brought up resort fees. I mean, in 2023, in the middle of record high inflation and a dozen eggs cost $7 or whatever, he's talking about resort fees. And then the other thing you just mentioned, it was something like teenagers being able to hop from fast food place to fast food place, like non-competes or something. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly what he talked about. He's telling everybody that he's a capitalist, that he's for the free market where people compete, and that brings about lower prices and the best possible product. And then at the same breath, he's talking about raising taxes and controlling everything, every single thing in the private sector, which seems more like the communist Chinese that he says he's standing up against. Well, I guess he can stand up to the Chinese over there because he's going to institute their policies over here. I mean, like I said, it was just completely detached from reality, no matter how much he smiled and how much he tried to be like the past president as a populist. I mean, we saw right through, the display in the theater and you know, words mean things. So that's important to us.
I was thrilled to hear because I believe, and you correctly seem to share the point of view, I think, that Mark Houck should be a symbol to every American of what a tyrannical government truly looks like. I was so glad that he was your invited guest to the State of the Union last night. Why'd you choose him?
We were really honored to have Mark and his wife, Ryan Marie, as you folks know more than anybody, you know, because you watched it front and center down in southeast Pennsylvania, but the country watched. He's availing himself to his First Amendment rights, and while these pregnancy centers have been firebombed and burned and people's rights are taken away just by simply expressing their political viewpoints, we wanted to make the point, among other points, that this federal government, the incredible power of the federal government has been weaponized in so many ways against average citizens that just want to live free in America, and they have different opinions. And of course, Mark is a symbol of that, having been, arrested at gunpoint, like he's some kind of national security threat. People showing up in the wee hours of the morning with his family there, his seven young children, and hauling him off to jail. And then, of course, he's completely exonerated. And the other person that was there, Chip Roy, a member from Texas, and I both brought similar individuals, Scott Smith from Loudoun County, Virginia, whose daughter was assaulted and raped in a school, who had the temerity to go question the cover-up at a school board meeting. And instead of arresting the perpetrator, they arrested him. I mean, this is the woke weaponization of the federal government, which has awesome power, and most people feel powerless against it. Yet this Mark Houck guy stood tall, didn't take the plea agreement, said, no, you charged me. You go ahead and see if you can get a conviction. I didn't do anything wrong. I protected my son. And, of course, he was completely exonerated, like in record time. And we want to showcase to America that you can speak your mind. You can avail yourself to your God-given rights that are enshrined in the Constitution and live in a free America that we all kind of grew up in. And remember, it's not gone, but we have to fight for it.
John Fetterman invited a 28-year convicted second-degree murderer to the State of the Union last night.
I don't even know what to say to that. I don't know what to say.
I guess when we are celebrating murderers, look, he's done his time, I suppose. I don't know the details of the case, but I'm assuming he's done his time. So we don't want to continue to punish him or anybody for that. But there's so many other people in the country to celebrate that do wonderful things, that sacrifice greatly, that don't take someone else's life, that put their lives on the line for all of our safety every single day. You couldn't find one other person in Pennsylvania that symbolize those virtues that we all aspire to. As the United States Senator, I mean, look, the embarrassments, unfortunately, at the federal level coming from Pennsylvania just continue. And what can we say about them? Yeah. We just have to kind of grin through it, grit our teeth, and bear it, and hope for a better day.
I'm not sure which moment the incredulity level hit the ceiling. There was outrage when he just lied about Republicans' plans to cut Medicare and Social Security, which we've already talked about. But then there were two other moments. The moment where he starts talking about fentanyl, to which many on the Republican side erupted and said, close the border then. You could hear it clearly. So many members shouting, close the border, right? And then the other was when he said, we're going to need oil for at least the next 10 years. And you all correctly just laughed in his face.
Well, of course. I mean, the fentanyl, look, Pennsylvania's lost over 5,000 people the last 2 years to this fentanyl and the synthetic opioids made by China. The precursors are coming into Mexico. The cartels are putting together, and then they put them on backpacks and people crossing the border through the ports or in between the ports of entry and right into our towns and our cities. And somehow he wants to talk about the fentanyl crisis. And he, again, is detached from reality, tone deaf to the point that it's all his doing. I mean, we had the first hearing in 2 years on the border in oversight just yesterday. And I even talking to the Border Patrol, because of fear of retribution, I assume they're afraid to talk about the fact that in 1 year, the border, the illegal crossings increased four times to record levels. And in this last year, increased five times to record levels. I mean, what changed? The Border Patrol's mission hasn't changed. Their resolve to do their job as agents hasn't changed. The law hasn't changed. What changed is the president just refuses to enforce the law. That's what changed. And so, like, for him to bring that up, it's just a horrific slap in the face, especially to the families who have endured those funerals unnecessarily. And then, of course, the oil situation. I mean, we've got refineries that right down in southeast Pennsylvania that are always in threat of being closed because of the policies of the left, not realizing or not willing to acknowledge the great nation we have. The backbone of that is affordable, readily available energy. And the United States of America, one of the greatest, if not at the current time, the biggest producers, like, we've made every single roadblock. Let's face it, the first thing the president did was close the Keystone Pipeline and stop all oil and gas leases on federal lands. Like, who is he kidding? 10 years? It's going to be around for 10 years? It takes 5 years to get through permitting and siting a refinery, much less build one, much less pay for one. What kind of, again, detached from reality. We live in the world of reality where we put fuel in our cars, we put oil in our tanks in the basement so we can heat our homes in the winter. Natural gas fires are clean burning electricity generating plants in Pennsylvania. Does he not live in America is what you kind of wonder.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one thing to, like you said, stretch the truth, embellish your record, whatever. But
right.
The guy, it was so lacking in good faith and goodwill. I've never seen anything quite like it. I mean, it stretched and pushed you beyond, again, credulity. You couldn't help but erupt because it was so full of lies.
The gaslighting from the left is just kind of what they do. They've perfected it, and of course, mainstream media just amplifies it and you know, works daily against any alternate viewpoint, even if it's rooted in the fact and truth. But we, again, trying to maintain some kind of standard of decorum and pull back from the brink what the Democrats created as a new standard under the last administration. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves and work with him, whether we agree with him, whether we don't, whether we like him, whether we don't, or whether he's going to embellish the truth or not, because because our job for America demands it. Our country is worth saving. The Republic, he keeps on talking about a democracy. It's like he doesn't even know the system of government that we have. You know, the Republic is worth saving. We have a wonderful country ordained by the good Lord, and we are bent and focused on saving it, even if he's not.
Listen, Scott Perry, I know, you know, you're one guy, you're the leader of the Freedom Caucus. You can't speak for the entirety of the body. You can't speak for McCarthy. I get it. But I mean, there's a lot to tackle here. The spy balloon thing, not the least of them. Hunter Biden, the laptop business. I mean, what's the house? Yeah. What are you guys cooking in terms of what are you tackling?
Well, today we're going to have hearings. You know, these Twitter executives are coming in under protestation, including one of them, former chief counsel for the FBI that now works at Twitter, and the silencing of America's viewpoints, essentially the federal government in these Twitter files that have been leaked by Elon Musk, the Twitter files showing that the federal government contracted or subcontracted out the suppression of free speech and the violation of civil rights and constitutional rights. And you're going to start seeing very clearly the light being shown on that. So that's on the schedule for us in oversight today. So you're just going to see a very, very different narrative. Yesterday, the first ever hearing on the border in 2 years from the Oversight Committee, you're going to see things that you haven't seen in 2 years now, while the Democrats and mainstream media have sought to pull the wool over your eyes. But we're going to make the case now for 2 years about why there needs to be a change in Washington, D.C. You need not suffer, America, under the yoke of this oppressive inflation that makes things unaffordable, the humiliation that comes from feckless leaders that won't stand up to their adversaries and leaders that want to weaponize a woke government against your viewpoints. You don't have to endure it. We can make a change, and we're, the Republican conference in the House of Representatives is going to make that case over the next 2 years, and you're going to see it very, they're not going to be able to, even mainstream media is not going to be able to avoid it. We know that you, Chris, will cover it, but a lot of people don't listen to you. You're not around the country like you should be, but we're going to try and fill that gap there.
Scott Perry, he leads the House Freedom Caucus. He represents Pennsylvania's 10th Congressional District. It's a pleasure to catch up with you as always, sir. Thank you for coming on today.
Chris, God bless you and your audience. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
The Chris DeGaul Show Podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.